Anybody glad they're saved tonight? Anybody glad? You glad? You don't know how glad. The longer I am saved, the longer I live for the Lord, no matter what comes, I'm just glad to know Jesus and He knows me. It just gets gooder and gooder. I want to talk tonight, is this thing on? I want to talk tonight about a father's blessing. And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 48, but I need you first to go to Proverbs chapter 20. I want to talk about a father's blessing. Let me see a raise of hands. How many of you are dads in here tonight? Put your hands up. Hold them up. Let me see. Well over most of the men are dads, fathers. This is a main message for you. This morning was a message for moms and wives and women, young and old. But tonight I'm going to talk to dads. We'll talk about how to bless your home. You say, you got all this figured out, Craig. Are you doing all these things at home? No, I'm going to preach to some things that are very convicting to me. Very important to me to understand and to get over my own stubbornness and my own pride and really put these things into practice. I just know the older I get, the more important these things are. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. Let me start with Brother Dan, if you would read that real loud for us. Proverbs 20. I hope you've got that in your Bible. You're going to need to hold on to your Bible. We're not going to do a lot of cross-referencing, but you're going to need to look real close to your Bible. These are some great things this evening. Brother Dan, Proverbs 20 and verse 7.
The just man walketh in integrity, and children are blessed after him.
Now that's a very important verse. The children of a godly man are blessed. And really, it doesn't, and as much as I know the importance of a godly woman in a home, and as much as I know that a home usually is probably much more spiritual because of a godly woman, but a godly man has a great responsibility to be a blesser in his home. Everyone should be a blessing in their home. It should be a helper in the home. It should be instant that Scott gets up after dinner and does the wear for his mom. It should be without question. Right, Scott? You follow? Come on. You should be a blessing, all right? It is important that all of us help out. We bless our parents. We bless our wife or our husband. But there is a special place that dad has as the blesser in a home. He's supposed to be someone who does special things for the people in his life. Hold on there. He's supposed to do things that bring stability and strength in the home. He's someone who doesn't just give flowers. Or somebody who just holds open the door, although those are important things, aren't they? He shouldn't be thinking that he's a blessing because he treats everyone to dinner sometimes. He should be somebody who just is a blessing. Who actually puts a blessing upon his family. Now, a man's blessing is something that almost does not exist today. What does it mean to bless? Go to Genesis chapter 17. If you go back to the left, find Genesis 17. What does it mean to bless? Some people say that it means to make somebody else happy. Well, okay, that's a start. But I want you to see that the Bible word bless is so full and rich, it doesn't just mean one thing. Genesis chapter 17, verse 7. And God is talking to Abraham at 90 years old and 9. That equals what? 99. God appears to him almost when he's 100 years old. And he says down in verse 7, he says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and who else? And thy seed, your children after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, an eternal promise, to be a God unto thee, and to who? And to your children, to thy seed after you." Now, to bless is to pass on the promises of God. These are spiritual treasures. You're supposed to pass on Not just inheritance. I mean, maybe somebody in this room might have a business and you might do very well and you might accumulate €1 million. And then when you die, you pass it on to your children. That's a material blessing. But that is not what God says we should be striving primarily to pass on to our children, because most of us will never have €1 million. So if you don't want to be a failure, you're going to have to pass on other treasures. And I have some other treasures. They're spiritual treasures. These are treasurers. That's a guy I want to pass on. These are the promises of God. When God said to Abraham, I'm going to be with you. I will be your shield, your fortress. I'll be your deliverer. I am your life. And Abraham, he says, and I want you to pass on this relationship we have to your children. I want you to pass on a spiritual treasure. You don't realize when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, you've got a treasure now. That you can, it is a well springing up in you that is plenty for everyone. You didn't get a drink when you got saved. You got a whole well, didn't you? Anybody ought to be able to reach in there and get themselves a well. You pass on the promises of God. You pass on your faith and your confidence in God. I'm afraid that most of us do pass that on. We pass our discouragement and our lack of faith to our next generation. We don't pass on to them, God's going to get us through this. God will take care of us. God has been there for us in the past. He'll be there in the future. We don't pass that on because we, by our lives, give off this idea that God has failed us. Are you passing on a spiritual treasure to your children of confidence in God and of faith in God? And you need to pass these things off to your children. How about passing on the Word of God? Pass on its stories and its wonder to them. It's a heart-to-heart. I can get up here and I can teach and I can draw, but you know, the best way to pass on something is from heart to heart. Pass that on to your children. That is a treasure. That is how you bless your children. You pass on the love of God to your children. How are children going to know that God loves them if you don't tell them? And if you don't show them the love of God? That's what you have. God loved you. So show them what God's love is like. That's a thing that you can pass on to your children. That's when God talks about us, the children of a just man, not a rich man. Did it say rich? Did you see that? No. But the children of a saved man are blessed. People need a blessing. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 4. You can leave Genesis now. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. First Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says this. Start in verse 9 in Jabez. First Chronicles, you're looking in your Bible, it's still in the Old Testament, it's before Psalms. Come back before Psalms a bit of a way and you'll hit First and Second Chronicles. Chapter 4 and verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, rest of his family. And his mother called his name Jabez, which means sorrow. She wasn't too happy with him. It's as if you called your son, oh no. That's what his name meant. They went, here comes more sorrow. Because I bear him with sorrow, she said. Verse 10, but look at how Jabez talks. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest what? Bless me indeed. And enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it be not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. People need a blessing. There are days when I need a blessing, man. I just need something from God. I need some kind of encouragement. You ever been there? Amen. Jabez, he came out of a home life that just would depress a dead cow. And he said, I need a blessing. People need a blessing. Go to Genesis chapter 32. Go back to Genesis 32 and verse 26. Genesis 32 and verse 26. Jacob is in his tent alone. His older brother is just hours away from attacking him. and slaughtering him with 400 armed servants. Jacob's got nothing to defend himself with, and there in that tent, there is somebody in there, and Jacob realizes this is no ordinary man. He realizes an angel has appeared to him, and he says, verse 26, the angel says, "Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou what?" Except you bless me. What did Jacob need that night? He needed a blessing. He needed something that would help him face tomorrow. People need a blessing. And so do you and so do I. Men need to be a blessing. You know, we need to be a blessing. It's not easy. We were not trained to be a blessing. I know my mom tried to train me. I know she sat me down and taught me a lot of things, but I didn't get it. We don't contribute. We take. Come on, gentlemen. We are takers. We're selfish, self-serving creatures. We usually are too busy to be a blessing. And when we do try to do something nice, we fail. We give money instead of time. We give cards instead of our attention. We give token efforts instead of giving ourselves. Amen? That's a man's response, isn't it? Well, God the Father shows us fathers, how and why to become blessers and not wreckers. When God chose to use Jacob, he chose somebody who ruined things. And he says, "Let me show you how to bless things. How to encourage instead of pull down. How to inspire instead of impede. How to enable instead of ruin." This Bible is going to show us how to help our families. It's not the job of the pastor. I will. You can ask me all day long, but I'm not going to lay my hands on your head and try to bless you. I have not that ability. But you dads do. Do you understand? You have the ability to bless the children of your home and the wife of your home and the parents in your home and in your family. You have not only the power, you have a responsibility to do it. There are loads of examples in the Bible of husbands and fathers being a blessing. Isaac, we don't have time, but Isaac blessed. Let's just look at two verses. Hebrews chapter 11, way to the right. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20. Watch the use of the word bless here. Hebrews chapter 11. What is Hebrews 11 all about? Anybody want to tell me? What is it from start to finish? What is it about? Faith. About men and women who lived and died by faith. They did everything out of obedience to God, just trusting God. And watch what it says when you come down to two men here. There's plenty of them, but two in particular. By faith, verse 20, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. He blessed his sons. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob now turned around when he was a dying. He blessed both the sons of Joseph, and he worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. David blessed his whole household. It was a regular thing with him. He would come home after a fight, he would open the door, and he just says, "Blessings upon this home." He just tried to be an encouragement. He would come home, he just got through fighting against Philistines and risking his life, and he'd come home and he'd decide, "I'm going to be a blessing to my home. I may be wore out, tired, but I want to be a blessing." And he brought blessing. It was something natural for David to want to just be a blessing in his home. Solomon blessed his son Rehoboam. You know what Solomon did, Brother Dennis? You know what Solomon did? He wrote an entire book to his son, the book of Proverbs. Wow. He wrote that to his son. He's trying to bless his son. There are great examples in the Bible of fathers who blessed their children. Unfortunately, not every father in the Bible blessed their children. Many of them forgot to or neglected to or were too busy to do it. Don't join with that crowd tonight. And ladies, you can be a blessing too. Your husband's deadbeat. God will help you be a blessing as well. But I'm going to focus on the men tonight. Now, by way of background, Jacob, let's go to Genesis chapter 48 now. Jacob knew the value of being blessed. Genesis chapter 48. Jacob, that old scheming, conniving, hustling, lying, deceiving, Jacob, he knew about blessings. He knew the value of being blessed. He knew he had to be blessed by his father, and he even stole the blessing from his brother because he knew the value of the blessing. Thankfully, later on, he learned the value of being blessed by God. Now, it took him a while, but he knew the value of being blessed. And of all people, Jacob the wrecker became Jacob the blesser in his home. Through the grace of God, he's been changed. Doesn't mean his life doesn't have trouble still. You know, Brother Dan, when you get saved, do all your troubles just slide off? As a matter of fact, they get sometimes fiercer. Twenty years earlier, one of his sons, his favorite son, what was his name? Who was Jacob's favorite son? That's Isaac's. Joseph. We're all tired, even. We're all growing old. That's the problem. We'll just chalk it up to them. 20 years earlier, one of his sons, his favorite son, Joseph, was ripped away from his life, sold into slavery by his own children, and all Jacob knew was that Joseph was dead. That's all he knew. And yet now, when we get to Genesis chapter 48, Jacob is in bed, and Joseph is standing in front of him, and Joseph is the prince of Egypt. He's back from the dead, as far as he's concerned. Joseph is not just there alive. Joseph has a wife and has two children. Something wonderful has happened. When Jacob had seen what he thought was absolute disaster, God was making something wonderful, wasn't he? It was then that Jacob, whose own life had been transformed by God's grace, decided it was time to bless his children and his grandchildren. Let's go to Genesis chapter 48. And we're going to learn how a dad can bless his home. Just five things tonight. Look at verse 8 and verse 9. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, "Whose are these?" As if to say, "Where'd they come from?" I love it. "Whose are these?" And Joseph said unto his father, "These are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place." And he said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will" what? It's time for me to bless them. Now, I want you to see verse 10. Now the eyes of Israel were what? Were dim of age, so that he could not see. Question. Did you know it is more important for you to see a blessing than to see the sunrise? Didn't get it. But you need to, if there's anything you need to be a blessing in your home, you need to step back, close your eyes, and start to look around like Jacob did and start seeing the blessing. God had given him back his son. God had given him now grandchildren. God had saved his family, brought them down to Egypt to save them from the famine that had gone on for years and years. And he now, even though he could not see physically what his son looked like and what his grandsons looked like, he knew there was a blessing there in front of him. He saw the blessing. Are you with me? The son whom he had thought had been killed was standing right there. He heard his voice. He heard his grandchildren giggling there. Joseph saw these two boys standing next to him in front of his father. He saw his two sons as a gift from who? Do you hear Joseph, the guy who was sold into slavery, the young man who was hated by his brothers, do you hear him complaining? Do you hear him saying, "It's been rough, Dad. You don't know how your sons made my life miserable. Does he say that at all? No, he says, let me bring to you the children that God gave me in this place that your son sent me. You see, even Joseph saw the blessing. He did not look back in his past and see the curse. Amen? He didn't see the trouble. He didn't remember the pain. He just saw blessing. Would we do well to have a dim eyesight that just sees blessings? I'm looking at a bunch of blessings tonight. Amen? I know you're a bunch of rebels. I know you're a bunch of stinking, stubborn messes. But you're blessings, amen? Because God has done something with us. I think this is a great way to look at the past through the eyes of blessing. Hey, God blesses us, doesn't he? I love Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the God of Israel that daily loadeth us down with blessing. I mean, it's like a lorry truck. You just wake up and the Lord's got this lorry full and you just go, nah. And you go get your coffee. And you forget to get loaded up with blessing. You forget that all day long God is piling on the helps and the joys that come with Jesus. Have you counted your blessings lately? Have you counted them? Or has God's well run dry? You know, the Bible says, my God shall supply all your need according to what? To his riches and glory. Has his bank gone bust? Huh. Has the economy affected heaven? Maybe we're counting and noticing only material things. And when you happen to lose material things, or you happen to not be able to go on holiday this year, or you happen to have to drive your car for another 5 years where you needed to get rid of it 5 years ago, I don't care what you may have to go through, if you're only looking at those blessings, your eyes have not seen the real blessings of God. See the blessings, man. If you happen to have a saved mate, you are blessed. If you happen to have children, there are people who would pay 50,000 euros to have a kid. They would adopt a child tomorrow and they would pay. And you got one, you say by accident. They're blessings. Children are a blessing of the Lord, aren't they? Our families are God's blessing to us. Our health is a blessing. How many of you are breathing tonight? Man, some of you are, the rest of you, I don't know. That's a blessing. Our health is a blessing. Our salvation from hell is a great blessing, amen? I mean, I shouldn't be standing up here. I shouldn't be singing these songs. I should be in hell, amen? I'm blessed. Our church family is a blessing. You know, some people miss a blessing because they look for performance. They look for a buzz, and they don't realize it's already here. Just being here, amen? I mean, it's just something that happens when you're with God's people, amen? This is a blessing. I can't convince anybody but Scott to get up close, but it's a blessing. Our jobs, is your job a blessing? How many of you are working that can say, praise God, that's a blessing, amen? Do you know your brain is a blessing? You're able to think. Your mind is a blessing. It is a magnificent. They just put this computer. IBM put together all of these computer parts. They call it Watson after Sherlock. And they pitted it against two men who were playing a game called Jeopardy. Did you hear about that? And IBM's been making these computers to play chess against humans and play, now they're playing Jeopardy. You know what Jeopardy is in America? It's one of those you got ask questions, stuff like that. And the computer's back, you know, alright, so they're playing a game. I wouldn't trust it to drive a car. Amen? Your brain is amazing. You're sitting there thinking, hearing, understanding, and choosing. It's a miracle. You could be a vegetable. Some of you are struggling. See the blessings around. Just realize they're blessings. Every good thing in your life is a blessing from God. Can you agree with that? Right. Every good thing and every perfect thing cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Every good thing in your life came from God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's a blessing. But did you know every bad thing? Every trouble, every valley, every shadow of the valley of death, every struggle was a blessing as well. For thou art with me. I never went through it alone. Before you will ever be a blessing, gentlemen, you need to see just how much God has blessed you. If you're saved, you're blessed. You see, you may not have two pennies to rub together. You may not be able to conjugate two verbs. You may not be able to stand up and say five words coherently. But you know you're blessed. You're blessed. You need to start just praising God. Just start thanking God. Just start enjoying the blessings that God has bountifully given you. If you're a dad and you better have a married wife, and you've got a saved wife, or you have your children saved, you're blessed, man. You're blessed. See the blessing. Jacob's there. He can't see anything, but he knows he's blessed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Secondly, look in verse 10. In verse 13, it says this. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age. He must have been over 48. So that he could not see, because I can still see. And he brought them near unto him. This is Jacob. He brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. Now I'm just going to use a phrase. It is a misused phrase, because they talk about touching today. But the Bible has Grandpa, he can't see, but he reaches out and grabs those kids and he pulls them up close to him and he hugs them and he holds them close to him. There is something about just touching and holding your children that is a blessing. He grabbed them, he kissed them, embraced them, and he laid his hands on both of them. He was doing it for a purpose. Look at verse 13. Joseph took them both, Ephraim on his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand, laid it upon Ephraim's head, and it was who was younger? And his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands what? On purpose. He's not just, give me a kid. He can't see who he's reaching for, but he knows what he's doing, and he puts his hand. He's touching those children. You cannot bless without a touch. You cannot bless without reaching out to somebody. Go to Mark chapter 8. Hold your place here. Go to Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. Let's see. Kathy, would you read Mark 8 and 22? So a blind man says, would you touch me? He needed a supernatural miracle, a blessing that came by Jesus' touch. People need to be touched. Children need to be held and touched and blessed. Mark chapter 10 and verse 13, Nita, please. Mark 10 and verse 13. Wow. This is so different than culture. Culture says, children, stay away, stay away. This is an adult conversation we're having. Jesus is teaching. We're listening. We don't want to be bothered. And the moms and the dads are bringing the kids saying, would you bless our children? Would you touch the life of my son? And the disciples are like, no. Get these kids away. But the parents knew what was important, because children need to be held and to hugged and to be touched and tickled. How many of you hate to be tickled? Come on, raise your hand, Nita. I hate to be tickled. but I love the fruit of tickling. It's a good laugh. You know, Jesus touched everything and everyone he could. Go to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 3. Brother Bill, Matthew 8 and verse 3. Hey, it just goes on. I know, I just got to race through. Matthew 8 and verse 14, verse 3. So, now this is an amazing thing. Jim, if you had leprosy, nobody would want to touch you. Why? It's extremely contagious. And yet Jesus broke all the rules and he touched a leprous man while he was still leprous, still infected, and he touched him. Because a leprous man probably hasn't been touched in years since he first contacted the leprosy. Nobody would touch him. But Jesus did. Can you imagine the power of that touch? When that man realized that Jesus would break all the rules just so that he could touch a life that had not been held, had not been loved through just a simple touch, Jesus touched him. Look on, keep going, they're staying in Matthew. Bill, if you will read now chapter 8 and verse 15. Do you know who that was? Who is it that had a fever? It's Peter's mother-in-law. Amen? Jesus does care about mother-in-laws. Amen. That's an American joke. But he touched her hand. It's a very comforting thing. You go to the hospital, what's the first thing that you try to do? You reach their hand and you hold their hand, don't you? That's what Jesus did. Because he wanted just to confirm everything's going to be okay. That expresses love, doesn't it? But if you go into a hospital and you say, where's the sanitary? Okay, I'm worried about getting sick in here, and I don't want to get too close to you in case you give me germs. I mean, good night. There's no joy. Just go home if you don't want to be here. But if you go to a hospital and somebody is not feeling well and you just hold their hand, it conveys a blessing, doesn't it? Jesus touched everyone he could. And really, I mean, there's time after time. Let me run over to Luke chapter 4. And let me get Luke chapter 7 and verse 14, and I'll ask Michael. Luke chapter 7 and verse 14. Here is a funeral. They're walking out of the city. They're going to the grave. Would you expect that the body is dead by then? Okay. So there's a funeral. There's a widow. Her only son is in that coffin. And Jesus, what does he do? And that boy sat up because Jesus reached out. I mean, everybody else is weeping and they're all caught up with the grief. And Jesus goes beyond and breaks every rule and touches that coffin. He says, time to wake up. And the boy sits up. Jesus touched the coffin. It's such a blessing when someone just comes up beside us and just touches us. Folks, we need to hold hands a lot more, not Jim and I, no. Dan, keep your hands to yourself. Get my idea. We do need, you know what guys do. This is what guys do. All right? You don't like that. Okay, no, not really. Not really. We may have fun. But really, you know what we're doing? We're making contact. I just want to encourage. That's why I don't go like this. Shoot me if I ever do that. That's not a blessing. That's a dead fish. Amen? Amen. Gentlemen, when you go up to somebody, I don't care if they're... Wake yourself up. I'm gonna get you. I don't want to shake a dead fish either. Just come on. Do something. Now, ladies, you don't have to do this. But guys, man, you're expressing a blessing. You're expressing an encouragement to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not just... How are you, Bill? Nice to see you. Let's go on. No. This is a chance to convey an encouragement. Be a blessing. If you come into church, you go, don't want to touch anybody. Oh, get over here. Keep your place. Keep over there. Don't get up, you know. Come on. So I say, shake five hands before you get your cup of tea. Why do I do that? Because I want everyone to be a blessing to everyone. There's touching going on. I know that word has been abused. It's been abused. But that's what's going on in a blessing. And it's appropriate for a dad to hold his children, to tickle them, to hug them. Your kids need to see you hugging on mama. I know your grandparents, man, they sat 4 feet away from each other, man. I mean, you see the old pictures. Remember the old black and whites? And that's what mom looked like, you know. I mean, it's just actually no joy at all. I don't know what went on back then. I don't care. I know that it's important to kids to see mom and dad in love and to see grandma and grandpa tickling each other. Amen. You don't believe me, but it's true. They need to see that. They need that passed on to them. We live in a time when people touch all the wrong things. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." There are plenty of things that are unclean to touch. Amen? But there's some good things to touch. Some wonderful things. Let's show our children how to touch and hold each other in a blessed way. Bless your children by touching them and holding on to them. I mean, it's just, you can't beat that. You cannot beat. Now, I put a picture of a dad hugging. Mom's usually the only hugger in most homes. Amen? Dad needs to do it because that is conveying a blessing. Now, I love that kind. I mean, there's nothing that'll pick anybody up better than tickling. It may make them mad, but to laugh while they're upset at you. Bless your children. That's a blessing to that kid. Amen? Amen. How dad can bless his home. See, when dad's too busy to interact with his kids and come up behind them and go, and just hold on to them and hug them. Listen, if a girl doesn't get hugged by her dad, she's going to look for the hugging from another guy. Amen. That's why plenty of girls run the streets looking for somebody to hold them because daddy never had time to. Third, pray for your children. Look back there in Genesis 48, verse 15. This is Jacob. And he, Jacob, blessed Joseph and said, "God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from evil, bless the lads." Wow. He's praying. "And let my name be named on them in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." What's he doing? He's praying for his children. Probably the most neglected part of a father's blessing is praying with his children, praying with his wife, praying as a family. I'm not talking about set prepared prayer. We don't have a book of prayers to pray over your family. You have a book that teaches you how to pray called the Bible. Pray about everything, man, with your kids. Show them how to pray for everyone you know. Pray for your children's future and pray for their future mates. All of our kids, we pray for their future mates. Because they're going to have to put up with our kids. Pray for their future mates. Josh, I already know who you're going to marry. She's going to be awesome because we've been praying for her. Probably need to start praying again pretty hard, isn't it? Pray for the future of your children. I know mom probably prays more than you do, men. But men, if you want to be a blessing in your home, hold your kids close and pray with them and pray for them. Pray for their willingness to follow Christ and do His will. I wonder if a lot of stubbornness in our children are just a reflection of our own stubbornness. If you're a stubborn mule, you better pray your kids aren't. Got quiet. You know, you say, "Well, it's just my wife and I. or it's just me and my son, or me and my, you know, pray in the company of angels then. Realize angels are all around watching. And they want to pray. They want to not pray with you, but they want to be in that moment when you're praying over your child. Grab each other's hand, kneel, and come before the Lord. And thank Him for His work in your life. Look what Jacob says. He looks back on his life. He's 90. Was he 96 years old? I forget. He's fairly old. And he says, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. What's he doing? He's praising God for how God is taking care of him. Then thank God for saving you and delivering you from all the sin and trouble you were in. He says, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Amen. Who's the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament? Jesus Christ. Remember what God has done for you. Convey that to your children. Say to your child, you don't realize what I was like before I got saved. And there's no glory in it. God saved me out of that thing. Honor God. And then ask God to bless them. Let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Ask God to bless them. You say, I don't know how to pray like that. You ought to ask God to teach you how to pray like that. Ask God to teach you how to pray for your children. Jacob knew what he was doing. Verse 17, back there, when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. What's going on? Two kids are here. I don't have my, can I go back to that? Let's see. Okay. This is Joseph. This is Jacob, renamed Israel. You got two boys, and look at the hands of Jacob. Instead of just reaching out and touching indiscriminately, he's crossed his hands and put his right hand on Ephraim's head and his left hand on Manasseh. Now, Manasseh was the older son, and he's supposed to get the best blessing. But Jacob, who knows that God doesn't do everything normal, he knew God's going to use Ephraim more than Manasseh. And he sets his hands like that. And Joseph's over here saying, no, no, no. And he tries to take his father's hand and move him. And Jacob won't yield. Jacob knows what he's doing. Now you and I, we get to a time where we're praying. I mean, I'm watching my son Joshua grow up. He's going to be gone too soon. Scares me to death. I don't know how to pray for him. So I'm praying. God, teach me how to pray for him. Teach me how to pray with him. Jacob knew what he was doing. I want to know what I'm praying for when I pray for my kids. Because I want to be a blessing to him. You need to know how to pray for your children. And you need to believe God is going to do wondrous things with your children. And with your grandchildren. Isn't it cool? He's actually not only blessing Joseph, he's blessing his grandchildren. Oh, that we believe God answered prayer. It probably is not going to be by their intelligence. If they're related to you, Jim, it's not going to be by their intelligence that they're going to succeed. Amen. I'm glad we can laugh, amen. It's going to have to be by God's grace and His wonder and His mercy. So it's a good thing to pray, amen. And then he goes on, let's go back here. Put God's name on your children. Look at verse 16. Back there in verse 16, the angel which redeemed me from all evil blessed the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. Go to Numbers chapter 6. Holding your place here. Numbers chapter 6. Let's see. Marzia, would you read Numbers chapter 6 and verse 27? All right, now how do you put God's name on your children? This is, go to Exodus chapter 6 now. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3, Tony, go back to the previous book, two books back there, to Exodus chapter 6 in verse 3. Putting God's name on your children. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3, Tony. So there was a time when Abraham, Isaac, Jacob did not know God's name. They just knew him as a title. What was God's title before that? God Almighty. God says to Moses, Moses, I want you to teach them my name, Jehovah. I want you to put that name on them. What's he talking about? Teach them God's name. Not everyone knows his name. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 10. Show them the power of his name. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Ediberto. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 10. Show them the power of God's name. The Israel wasn't a mighty army, were they? They were a tiny little nation. They were a spot on the map. And yet because God says, because my name is on you, all nations will fear. That's cool. You know, the safest place to be, Brother Dan, is right in the middle of God's will. If my people, listen to the next phrase, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Not raise themselves up into an army. Not come up with immense amounts of money. But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Because my name is on you. And you get right with that name. Teach your children that name. Transfer to them that they belong to God. What is it we walk around calling ourselves? Christians. I belong to Christ. I'm a Christ follower. I want to be like Christ. I carry that name quite gladly. Do you? Yeah. Amen. I put on my son my name. He's known as Joshua Ledbetter. He got that from me. I put that name on my wife. She is Nita Ledbetter. I think it has a great ring. And I can put the name, God's name on my children. You know, Nita's had the privilege of being there with every one of our children getting saved. She's able to put God's name on our children. Pretty awesome. Show them the power of his name in answered prayer. Show them the power of that name. All you have to pray in Jesus' name and the answer is on its way. Amen. How about in salvation? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think that name's pretty powerful. Teach them that name. Put that name on them. Show them the protection of that name. Proverbs 18:10 says this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Just the name. Teach your children the name of God. Always trust in Jesus. Living in obedience to God's word. Your safety in doing things in Jesus' name. And then last thing, how a dad can bless his children is believe God will honor your blessing. I think we fail in the first 4 points because we come to this last one and we fail to actually believe God is going to bless them. What is it that Jacob is praying? He's praying that God will bless them. You know what he says? Go back to Genesis chapter 48. In verse 20. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless all of Israel, all of my children for ages to come, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he said, Ephraim, ahead of Manasseh, before Manasseh. What is he saying? He's saying, it's going to come a day where somebody says, I hope you're just like Ephraim. I hope you're just like Manasseh. Because Jacob, when he's praying, he's believing God is going to bless his children because he's praying. We need to get to the place where when we pray for somebody to get saved, we believe they're going to get saved. Well, let's transfer it to our family. We need to start believing that when we start training them right and start rearing them right and start teaching them right, that they're not going to depart from it. Amen. That is the belief that we lack. We forget. We try our best and then it doesn't seem to work and then we get mad. believe God is going to honor your blessing. One day somebody's going to look up at your child and say, I want to be like him. And you're going to go, my kid? Then you're going to remember that prayer you prayed. I wanted my kid not to be somebody that we went looking for, but that people looked up to. Not that they were getting praise, but they had a life that was clean and different and peculiar and a light shining in a dark world. Amen. Believe God. You might just be surprised at how God does things differently. You think, oh, this son is going to be that and that son. You know, God's all different. God uses runts. God uses second and third kids instead of the oldest kid, doesn't he? God uses nobodies. Amen. So you look at your son, you say, this son, this daughter, look at how smart they are. They're going to be great. Listen, amen. Pray a blessing on them, but realize God's going to do something. You just bless them all. Just believe God for all of them. God will use them to your surprise, probably. Oh, there goes, oh, that problem son of mine. Probably make a great missionary. Oh, that daughter of mine. Probably make a great Bible translator. You have no idea what they're going to be. Why don't you just believe God for a miracle? Here's some final thoughts. Men need to be a blessing. Godly men bless the children. We read that verse at the beginning that says, I can find it. The just man walketh in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. Men need to be a blessing. Proverbs 31 verse 28 says that men ought to bless their wives. Talking about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, it says her husband rises up and calls her what? Blessed. Gentlemen, we need to bless our homes. We've taken too much. We've abused. We've taken advantage of. It's time for us to bless our children and our wives. Did you know when we refuse to work with Christ, does Christ want to bless your home? Yes or no? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, he says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not scattereth. So if I'm not trying to be a blessing in my home, I'm actually ending up scattering. Ruining the work of God in my home. I want to be a blessing. I want to be working with Christ. Finally, you need to start today. You know, Jacob lost a chance to bless his children. It was 20 years later when he had that chance, and when his son Joseph was standing there, he says, give me those kids. I want to do it now. I don't want to let another day go. I want to hold on to my kid. I want to pray with them. And they may think you're weird. They may go, Dad, what? You're choking me. You know? And you're like, no, I can't let you go. I want to bless you. I have nothing else to offer you. The promises of God. I have walked with God and he has helped me and delivered me. He saved me. I can pass on all of that truth and all of that blessing and all of that reality to you, and I want you to now pick it up and carry it and know the blessing of walking with God. That you can give them. Start today. You might get a little late if you wait too long. You can be a blessing by writing them a note. Go to Colossians chapter 3, gentlemen. You can leave your place here. Colossians chapter 3. And who do I need next? Tess, Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, speaking to men. Is that the right one? 3:19. Wow. If there's any bitterness in your home, if there's any bitterness in any relationship between you and your children or you and your wife, I would get rid of it in a heartbeat. I don't care what it would cost. Because if you want to be a blessing, there's no way to bless where there's bitterness. There is none. Get rid of it. Be not bitter. It goes both ways. Third, humble yourself and be the blesser, the benefactor, the giver of good things in your home. If you're having a hard time being a blessing, if you just don't know how to be a blessing, why don't you take a step back and just go get into another room, and just start with a piece of paper and start realizing how much God has blessed you. And start thinking about how God stepped into your life and just started daily loading your life with blessing. And then go into your home and go into your son or your daughter's room, into your wife's room, into your room, amen, with your wife. And go in there and just start loading some blessings. Why don't you just do something without any thought of return? Why don't you just be a blessing? Amen. Humble yourself. Say, well, you're doing this because the pastor told you, huh? Well, now you're trying to be a blessing. Ignore. Ignore the kids. Because this is right. It takes a changed man, a humbled man, to become a blesser. Arrogant men don't bless. And one last verse. Bless even when it's hard to do so. 1 Corinthians 4:11-12. I'm gonna get somebody real loud. I know you can read, but let me get your sister. Well, she's not loud either. Let me get Laura. Laura, are you loud? No, your voice is still bad, or is it okay? Okay, all right, just above a whisper. 1 Corinthians 4:11-12. I just want everybody to hear it and read it with me. 1 Corinthians 4:11-12. And listen to Paul as he speaks. Go ahead. Hold. Is he having a good day? No. What does it mean to be buffeted? Beat up? Keep going. Reviled? What does it mean to be reviled? Somebody help her. Yelled at. Hated. And how was Paul turning it around? How was he responding? Being reviled? I'm not there yet. I have a bad day and I don't want to be a blessing. But we know we need to bless even when it's hard to do. Amen. Folks, above all things, like Jacob in his later years, let us bless our home. A father's blessing. I know moms need to be a blessing. Everybody needs to be a blessing in a home. It's nice when everybody's a blessing. Amen? It's nice when everybody's just doing more than they're asked. More than is demanded. Everybody just coming in. And isn't it great when you come into church and everybody's just so helpful and kind? And isn't it wonderful? Let me tell you, it's not going to happen unless each of us say, I'm going to be a blessing. I'm not just going to come in and get all upset because somebody's in my chair. Amen. I'm not going to come in and just say, well, the music stinks. Oh, man, it's hot in here. Usually it's cold in here. No, you come in and you say, I'm going to be a blessing. Let's decide before it's too late that we, like Jacob, grab our children, grab our families, and are a blessing to them. That means verbally bless them. How can you bless your wife? Verbally. Tony, do you know how? Tell her you love her. Tell her she's beautiful. She'll say you're blind. And just look at her. She says, stop it. Women are funny. She says stop it, but she means keep going. Less. Bless your wife. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer.